Jeff's Guitar Clinic is a multifaceted shop offering guitars, amplifiers, and all accessories, guitar lessons for all ages, and instrument repair of the highest quality. Take the scenic drive to beautiful Fort Atkinson and see what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call Jeff's Guitar Clinic today at 920-723-1733. That's Jeff's Guitar Clinic at 920-723-1733. Jeffsguitar.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
Welcome to another podcast. It's LiesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and many great local sponsors like Madison Teachers Incorporated, Madison Teamsters, Local 695, and Madison Firefighters, Local 311. With us today, Attorney General candidate Josh Call. He is a Democrat from Madison who is running against incumbent Brad Schimmel in the fall. There is, if I'm not mistaken, there's not a primary on the other side, Josh, correct? There's no primary.
That's correct.
All right. So I wanted to see if we can get a point of differentiation. How do you think that Donald Trump is doing as president?
I think that is a point of differentiation between Brad Schimmel and me. I think there are a number of ways in which Donald Trump could be doing a much better job as president. And what I think is important for the AG's race, and I mentioned this in the convention speech I gave just over a week ago, I think we need an AG who, when our rights and protections are rolled back by the Trump administration, is going to be willing to stand up for our values instead of standing with the Trump administration. I think that's a clear point of difference between Brad Schimmel and me. I don't think he's taken on the Trump administration even once in court.
This is a while back now. Did you watch Donald Trump's convention speech?
In 2016, I did, yes.
Yeah, okay. Because I found this little tidbit on YouTube this morning as I was preparing for our program. This is Attorney General Brad Schimmel on the floor of the convention after watching now President Trump's speech.
Fabulous speech. And he's making the right promises of things we need to do as a country, and I believe he's going to keep those promises. Woo!
Was that your reaction to the speech?
I had a different reaction to the speech. I remember seeing it. As you probably recall, it was a pretty dark speech. And, I didn't think then, and I don't think now, that Donald Trump is taking the country in the right direction and has a plan to take the country in the right direction. And, I would like to see a different approach there. And again, I think the key for us here in Wisconsin is to make sure we're standing up for our values when they're under attack. And I don't think that's happening from our AG's office right now.
You know, we're kind of having news made as we record this on a Monday morning. The Supreme Court hasn't handed down the redistricting case yet. We'll keep our fingers crossed on that. Although, if you read the tea leaves of some of their recent decisions, I'm not particularly encouraged. Today they ruled that Ohio purging the voter rolls the way that they have is perfectly fine. Have you had a chance to see that they ruled on that?
I actually had not seen that decision. So that's interesting to know. The process that Ohio had in place, I know, was one of the more aggressive processes of removing voters from the roll. It involves sending out a card, and if people don't respond or it's returned as non-deliverable, it puts the wheels in process to start the process of potentially removing people from the rolls. There was an interesting piece I just saw. Barry Burden, who's a professor of political science here at Wisconsin, was talking about one of the key ways to deal with concerns like this was to make sure we had same-day registration. I think it's really important that we do in Wisconsin. And that way, if there's a problem when a voter gets to the polls on election day, the problem can be fixed. So I'm glad that we have it here, and I wish more states had it.
You have been critical of Attorney General Schimmel on voter ID. Explain why.
You know, Brad Schimmel, as you know, has been defending a host of restrictions that the state enacted on voting in Scott Walker's first term in office, and I've been on the other side of that case challenging those restrictions. That includes restrictions on early voting, restrictions on registration, and the voter ID law, as you mentioned. Brad Schimmel has defended the state in that case, which I think is absolutely appropriate for the AG to do. What I don't think is appropriate is that a couple months ago, Mr. Schimmel made some comments suggesting that he may have helped Donald Trump and Ron Johnson win in Wisconsin in 2016 by fighting to make sure that the voter ID law was in place for the 2016 election. He was, from my perspective, it looked like he was bragging about the role that he was playing in suppressing voters in 2016 because, you know, the evidence at trial showed that there were no cases that he could show of in-person voter impersonation fraud. And, you know, I just think it's absolutely inappropriate for anybody in elected office, let alone our attorney general, to be bragging about suppressing voting.
Isn't it also true that he's sort of making an insinuation that the people that are most likely to cheat are Democrats?
You know, I'm not sure if what insinuation he was making on that front. He later said, well, he believes that there is fraud. But, you know, we went to trial. We litigated almost 2 weeks in federal court here in Wisconsin. And his office did not present not a single example of in-person voter impersonation fraud. So there's no evidence that the voter ID law would have prevented any fraud, much less, you know, 20-plus thousand votes, which was the margin in the presidential election. And it was even more in Ron Johnson's election. It's pretty clear that if that law had an impact on the election, it was because it deterred people from voting, not because it prevented fraud.
Josh Call with us at SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. I want to ask you about these rape test kits and the backlog that has caused many problems here in Wisconsin. Brad Schimmel was on Mike Gushay's Upfront program a while back, a week and a half ago or so. And here's what he had to say when Mike Gushay asked him whether you criticizing Schimmel is a cheap shot.
Cheap shot, politically speaking, by
absolutely.
Your likely
it's
opponent?
It's politicizing something that is really a serious public safety challenge. It's very complicated. And I'll note something. My opponent has never told anyone, he never told you during your interview, how he would have gotten that done more quickly. Because it's a capacity problem. You can have the will to have the kits tested quickly as much as you want. Our first request for bids that went out got no responses from any lab in America. We had to do a second RFP. That one, we managed to convince one lab to come in. We've done the work now to get two more labs nationwide to come in on this problem as well. My opponent talks about, well, he would have hired more crime lab analysts. That demonstrates his inexperience in this area. Because you can't just hire crime lab analysts and have them instantly hit the bench working. It takes a minimum of a year and a half to have them certified to be able to enter that information into the national data bank, which is the ultimate goal.
I want to talk to you about another one of your priorities.
All right. So
ultimate goal.
I want to talk.
So I'm just a college dropout, Josh. But if I listen to that statement in its totality, I noticed something interesting there. He said that it takes a year and a half to get a crime lab analyst up and running. He's in his fourth year as attorney general, right?
That's exactly right. You know, it's it's really remarkable. In Brad Schimmel's first year in office, we received over $4 million to test the kits in our rape kit backlog. And after he had been there for 2 years, only 9 of those kits had been tested. He claimed that there was no backlog, a statement that PolitiFact found to be pants on fire false. He said that hundreds had been tested, when in fact at the time it was only 9. Now the good news is we finally have started making some progress, but over half of the kits in the backlog still haven't been tested. And that means that there's a delay in justice for survivors, and it means that dangerous criminals who should be in jail are still on the streets. And it's true that it takes a period of time to train analysts. There's no question about that. But as you said, Brad Schimmel's now in his fourth year in office. If he had hired folks from day one, we would have been, you know, we would have had analysts who were trained long ago at this point, and they could have been testing these kits. And we also need more analysts anyway, because there are increased delays in testing of other evidence at the crime labs. It is clear that there are actions we could have taken to move more quickly. And also, you know, he did the statewide inventory before the kits were sent out, and it took quite a while to do that. I think it's clear that he didn't make that a top priority. Instead of hiring analysts for the lab, one of his top priorities was hiring additional attorneys to work in the Solicitor General's office, which is the unit that has been involved in all of these challenges to policies that were enacted under the Obama administration. Most recently, as you may have seen, he's challenging the Affordable Care Act yet again. I talk about how he's put politics ahead of public safety. That is a great example of it.
So he said you don't have a plan. You wouldn't have had a plan to take care of this backlog. Was your plan to hire more? Would it have been? Let me ask it this way: if you'd been Attorney General and had taken office in 2011 the way Schimmel did, what would you have done?
Yeah, there are two things that should have been done differently. One is more analysts should have been hired from the start in-house, so they could have been tested. Those kits could have been tested here in Wisconsin. And secondly, he should have made clear in working with law enforcement agencies around the state that the inventory he was conducting needed to be completed as quickly as possible so that we could get the process of testing started faster. That didn't happen. And the point, you know, going forward now is, you know, we need an AG who understands that this should have been a priority from day one, because there's still work to be done, not only in completing the testing of the kits, which he's now promised will happen by the end of the year, but then those cases are going to need to be pursued where there are hits. You know, I think it's really important that our AG knows this is a top priority.
Let me ask you another question about his tenure as Attorney General. We've been hearing a lot about legislators going on junkets. Well, he went on a little junket speaking to a group called Alliance Defending Freedom. And he kept this on the down low. It was discovered that, in fact, he'd address this group. What do you make of that, and what do you know about this group?
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center has identified that group as an anti-LGBT hate group. It's not only opposed to same-sex marriage, but it wants to, among other things, criminalize same-sex relationships. It's a fringe group, frankly, and it's just indefensible for our Attorney General to be using his time speaking to that group. We also spent about $1,000 in taxpayer money to cover some travel expenses for another attorney in Brad Schimmel's office. That's just not where our tax dollars should be going, and I think it is absolutely inexcusable for our AG to have been there.
When you get elected to this office, you're the people's attorney, and you're also the state's top law enforcement officer. What are going to be your ground rules? You know, you don't go into this, no one does, with being a paragon of virtue or somebody that doesn't come with some biases and some political beliefs. What's going to be your rule if you're Attorney General about going to speak to different groups?
You know, partly it's a question of judgment. I mean, I think it is absolutely appropriate for the Attorney General to speak to groups with different views, both groups that he or she agrees with and groups that he or she disagrees with. What I don't think is appropriate is to speak to groups on any side of the aisle that have been identified for good reason as hate groups. And it touches on a broader point, Sly, which is that, you know, one of the roles of the Attorney General is to enforce the laws even-handedly, without regard to whether the laws are being enforced against somebody of either party or any other difference. And when it comes to the enforcement side of the job, the AG really should be nonpartisan. You know, there are always going to be differences in priorities for which types of cases different AGs might want to enforce and where they might prioritize putting resources. But once you've made those decisions, the actual enforcement of the law has got to be nonpartisan. And, you know, I just don't think I think that's a point where Brad Schimmel and I have a different approach to the office.
We'll take a break. With us, Josh Call. He's running for Attorney General, State of Wisconsin, the general election coming up in November. We have much more to get to next at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com. We're back at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and great local sponsors like Madison Computer Works, S&R Remodeling, and the Axley Law Firm. Josh Call with us today. Let's talk about the opioid crisis. Obviously, a huge problem throughout the nation with people being either overprescribed or getting their hands on narcotics, which in many cases leads to heroin, which leads to heroin being cut with fentanyl, which ultimately leads to death. Josh, I see it in the obits every day. Every time I see an obit where somebody has died in their 20s or 30s, many times now parents are actually putting in what killed their son or daughter. When Mike Couchet interviewed Brad Schimmel the other day, he asked him why Schimmel is not going after the drug manufacturers, and I'm sure you saw the 60 Minutes piece about the dumping of drugs into our system and cutting back the hands of government in enforcing these pill mills. Here's Brad Schimmel's response to that.
Should we sue Big Pharma? That's what some states are doing, and I noticed just in the last couple of days you saw Utah, mm-hmm. You saw the Attorney General in Minnesota. They're suing some of these big pharmaceutical makers, saying you've contributed to this opioid epidemic. Should we do that?
We have already. 10 years ago, we did sue Purdue Pharma nationwide, mm-hmm. And Wisconsin's actively involved in a nationwide investigation, a multi-state investigation of attorneys general. We're collecting information right now. We can drop a lawsuit anytime, but there's no reason to do it now. We've told the statute of limitations.
You want to wait for the investigation to be done?
We're going to keep working on what we're working on, and we'll bring the case when it's ready and it's ripe. But at the same time, we are hopeful that we might be able to move this towards some settlement, because a lawsuit's going to take many years to get through the system. If we can reach some settlement where they're willing to help us right now, with drug treatment courts, with other treatment programs, with prevention efforts. If we can get that kind of settlement right now, we can make a difference for Wisconsin and other states immediately.
I'm guessing that is not what you would have said if asked that question.
I think that's right. So, I think it's important here to sort of go back a bit to sort of explain how we got to where we are right now in this. These suits have been brought because based on allegations that pharmaceutical companies were misrepresenting the effects of their drugs and the benefits of them, and opioids in particular. Purdue Pharma was representing that OxyContin, the drug that really ushered in the epidemic, was not addictive and that it was effective at treating long-term pain. And neither of those has turned out to be correct. About a year and a half ago, Brad Schimmel said in an interview that he didn't want to cast blame and that he didn't think the statute of limitations could be stretched far enough to hold pharmaceutical companies accountable. And since I've been in this race, we've been talking about this issue. And so I'm glad that Schimmel has moved in the right direction on this. Since the campaign started, he's now announced that the state has joined a multi-state investigation, as he mentioned in that interview. But he's also taken, contributions from two pharmaceutical company PACs. He's demonstrated no real serious commitment to holding the pharmaceutical companies accountable for the role that they have played in creating and exacerbating this epidemic. And I think our AG absolutely should be serious about that, both because it's fair. If this problem is a result of pharmaceutical companies making false representations, as it certainly appears may be the case, they should be held accountable for that, and it's going to be vital to funding treatment, to funding prevention efforts, to funding enforcement efforts, because there's likely going to be a very large either settlement or judgment following these cases.
Yeah, the former Attorney General of Mississippi, who went after the tobacco manufacturers, is involved in this, and I wouldn't mess with him.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing we've seen due to Brad Schimmel's lack of leadership on this issue is that there doesn't seem to be a unified strategy within the state of Wisconsin, and so we've seen counties, I think it's now 66 out of 72 counties, have filed lawsuits. You know, what I would have liked to have seen here a while ago was leadership from our AG and working with the counties, explaining what the strategy is, letting folks know what the plan is at the state level. But we just haven't had that kind of leadership under Brad Schimmel. What I would do as AG is immediately look at where we are in the multi-state investigation. If it is on track and moving quickly and likely to lead somewhere soon, then it makes sense, I think, to first of all explain that to the public and talk about where we are. And if it's not, then I think the state needs to look at taking action as soon as possible.
What else would you say are going to be the major debatable issues this year and your points of differentiation with Attorney General Schimmel?
You know, we've talked about some of the issues that deal with fighting crime and getting justice for Wisconsinites. I think that is one very big issue in the race. A second one is, which we touched on a bit, but I think our AG should play a role as an independent watchdog for the people of the state when it comes to guarding against public corruption, when it comes to holding Foxconn to the terms of the deal that it has struck with the state, and when it comes to standing up for our rights and protections. And then third, I think, you know, we need an AG who is serious about enforcing the laws that protect our natural resources, our consumer protection laws.
Well, there's overlap with Foxconn in that, isn't there?
That's right. Well, Foxconn has been exempted, as you know, from some laws that we have. But, you know, there are still laws that apply to Foxconn, and if it violates them, I think we need to make sure we have an AG who is serious about holding Foxconn to the standards that apply so that it's not getting an even better deal than it has already struck.
Well, it looks like Illinois' Attorney General Lisa Madigan, although she's outgoing, is initiating a lawsuit against the Foxconn deal and the damage it could do to Illinois.
That's right. She's taken action, and I believe there's another state that was looking at something. I don't recall where those cases stand exactly, but it looks like there's going to be litigation of some sort relating to Foxconn still.
Matt Flynn, who's one of the candidates for governor, said he thinks the Foxconn deal is illegal and should be challenged because it's a carve-out for one company, and he doesn't believe that's constitutional. What are your thoughts on that?
So what I would want to do as AG is, first of all, the original, you know, as AG, you're defending the state's position in litigation if there's a defensible basis to do so, and that's something I absolutely would do. So, you know, this would come up from the AG's office if either somebody who's harmed by it were to challenge the Foxconn deal, in which case, as AG, I would defend the deal because that's part of what the AG does. The other way it could come up is if we have a change in leadership in the legislature. The House and the Assembly decide to vote to try to repeal the deal, and the governor signs some sort of repeal. If that were the approach that the government, that our state government wanted to take, I think our AG should be closely involved in talking to the members of the legislature and the governor about what the impact of that would be, what the implications would be, and whether that's something that would be, you know, viable under the contract that we have or not. I think it would take some extensive legal analysis at that point.
Is it impossible in this day and age to be the attorney general? And for many years, whether it be Bronson La Follette or whether it be some of the people that preceded him, it was not viewed as a particularly partisan office. But in today's world, and I know that's a cliche, today's world, but we really do have a partisan divide where people have deep mistrust of our government and the institutions that make up our government. I heard you say the other day in an interview, it might have been with Mike Gouche, I can't remember, you know, your mother, and again, we pass along our condolences, the loss of your mother, who was Attorney General in the early 2000s, Peg Lautenschlager, she'd said out and out that she was an activist, that she believed the role of being attorney general. She considered herself an activist. And you've said that that is not necessarily the role you view for the office. So kind of walk us through how you view this office in light of what we have today.
That's a great question, Sly. And you're right that, you know, historically these offices were, the office of the AG was not viewed as particularly partisan, and there's unfortunately been a change in that. The reason I push back against the idea that it should be viewed that way is, and this is a point we talked about before, when it comes to enforcing the laws, you know, the AG should not be a partisan. You know, when I was just at a law school, I took a job as a law clerk for a federal judge who had been appointed to the bench by President George H.W. Bush. When I was a federal prosecutor, I was actually hired by Rod Rosenstein, who, despite the current headlines, is and was a Republican. That wasn't relevant, though, to the job we were doing, either, you know, as a clerk to a judge or as a federal prosecutor, because it was about applying the law in a fair and even-handed way. And I think that our AG absolutely should have that approach to the office. Now, there are going to be different priorities than I have from Brad Schimmel, and that's what we've been talking about. I think we need more aggressive leadership and a more aggressive response to the opioid epidemic. You know, I think we need to address our delays in the testing of evidence at the crime labs. I think we need to do more on school safety. I also think we need an AG who's going to step up when it comes to enforcing the other laws we talked about, environmental laws and consumer protection laws. So those priorities are different. And to some extent, they've become partisan in a way that they weren't before. Because frankly, you know, our current AG is just doesn't seem to be very serious about enforcing some of those laws. So take the environment. You know, historically in Wisconsin, there was a bipartisan commitment to clean air and clean water because people, I think, recognized that having a healthy environment, having clean air and clean water was important for our health. It was important for our economy, and it was important for our way of life. But under Brad Schimmel, there's been a significant drop in fines collected from polluters. You know, under J.B. Van Hollen, his predecessor, we collected over $3 million a year in fines, and that's dropped to under $1 million a year under Mr. Schimmel. And so, you know, it's hard not to notice that his first deputy attorney general was a corporate lobbyist who then, after serving for a few years, became a lobbyist for Foxconn, and that the head of his environmental protection unit is a former lobbyist. And so I think, you know, special interests, unfortunately, are playing a bigger role than they used to, and that has led to a divide, you know, along partisan lines that didn't used to exist.
So here we go. It's going to be an interesting race. It's going to be fun to watch. Would you like to debate Mr. Schimmel?
I would like to debate Mr. Schimmel, and we're hoping that we will be able to get something figured out soon. We want to have as many chances to talk to the voters around the state about the issues that are at stake in this race, and so that they can see my position and see Brad Schimmel's and make the best judgment about what vote to make in the AG's race.
And if people want to donate, send money, want to check your website out, how do they get a hold of you?
Our website is just joshkaul, joshkaul.org.
Josh, thanks for joining Sly's Office today.
Thank you, Sly. It's good to be here.
Sly's Office, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.